The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Donald Trump is a 78-year-old billionaire who has not stopped whining about his problems. Donald Trump sees power as nothing more than a means to an end. Donald Trump wants us to think that this country is hopelessly divided between us and them. Donald Trump does not care that a mob might attack his own vice president. Do you think Donald Trump has ever changed a tire in his life? For Trump, freedom is getting away with stuff. You think Donald Trump ever changed the diaper? Donald Trump just tie himself into a pretzel on this issue. Trump abortion bans in 20 states. Donald Trump may be confused about that issue. Donald Trump at a rally just started making up stories. Donald Trump lies or cheats or shows utter disregard for our Constitution. Donald Trump and his cronies. Trump. Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Trump, Trump.
There you go. Some fascinating highlights from the dear leader's speech yesterday in Pittsburgh. He has got Trump on the brain. Trump is living rent-free inside of this man's head. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of this work week. Hard to believe. Friday is upon us. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. I saw an article this morning that said that the Harris campaign has raised $1 billion, a billion with a B. And here they are bringing out the dear leader as a last resort because her campaign is failing in every respect. It's just been a disaster, especially this week. $1 billion wasted away on this fake, fraudulent campaign, really. Didn't win one vote or delegate. She was just handed the position. Joe Biden shoved aside. His campaign was a disaster before hers. And here comes Barack Obama. And yet the media, there's still a few sycophants that say, oh, I heard it on Morning Joe this morning. He's such an eloquent speaker. No, you listen to the speech. We'll play you some sound bites. And you see that this is an angry, bitter man. You see John 8:44 coming through. The spirit of murder and all the lies. There he is. He's kind of lost his mojo, though. And there are a few more honest commentators on the right and the left that are saying, you saw it on social media yesterday, we're just tired of it. You've exposed yourself. This is not 2008. This is 2024. And out comes the dear leader. And it's just not working, is it? It's just not working. It was, what, 7 weeks ago? When we were told that, hey, we've never seen this kind of enthusiasm since the dear leader's days. Back in 2008, 2009. And now they were trying to generate all of this fake enthusiasm. I mean, they have fake, everything is fake. So much fakery coming out of the national convention in Chicago for the Democrats. Oh, listen, look, well, I brought this from our October, or rather August 23rd show. This was Rachel Maddow the night before. This was her reaction to Kamala Harris's speech at the convention, clip 24.
All right, you will remember where you were when you heard this speech tonight from the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, really introducing herself to the nation, speaking as much to Republicans and independents as she was to the Democrats who were nominating her tonight, asking Americans to remember how great their country is and to fight for its values. You're going to remember where you were on this night. This is an inflection point in history.
An inflection point in history. I was going to save those kinds of clips for the day after the election and see how well they hold up against time. But I couldn't resist. That was 7 weeks ago. And $1 billion later, well, this is the Guardian headline. Harris campaign's record $1 billion in funds fails to translate into swing state advantage. She's not gaining in the polls. She's behind in all the swing states. $1 billion? Listen to Kamala this week. So we're 7 weeks on from the end of the DNC. And you know what's happened this week with her trying to answer the very simplest of questions. You know, where are you or how will you be different than what we're experiencing right now? Clip five.
Well, folks, it's time to turn the page. It's time to turn the page. And America is ready for a new way forward.
Well, if anything, would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind.
There's not a thing that comes to mind. But we're ready to turn the page. We're ready to go on this new way forward. $1 billion later. And then as the dear leader comes out to try to breathe life into this dying campaign, as Peter Navarro put it, the jig is up for Barack Obama. It's over. And of course, before Peter said it this morning, my father's been saying it all along. His influence is being diminished right before our eyes. That's in the latest Trumpet magazine, by the way. If you don't have a subscription, there's no cost, no obligation. You can subscribe to the Trumpet magazine. Just call our 800 number. You see it there on the screen, 1-866-930-3024. The regime media, they know. They know what's coming in about 3 weeks. Listen to Jake Tapper, his commentary from yesterday, clip 25.
She did do a town hall today with Univision that's going to air this evening. But are you surprised that she's not doing like five events a day, like barnstorming? I mean, there's only 26 days. Barnstorming every battleground state, three or four events a day. Forget the interview thing, okay? I realize I'm biased as a reporter. I want interviews.
Local news,
but though. News interviews, town halls, rally. Like, it just seems like it doesn't feel like October with the schedules I'm looking at for both of them, but I kind of think he has the edge right now.
Tapper saying Donald Trump has the edge, even in energy. What was it? Pfeiffer yesterday who said that Trump is old and mentally unfit and lazy. Obama, the dear leader, he picks apart Donald Trump's mental stability. This is from The Wrap, as I say, yesterday's speech in Pittsburgh. It just reveals Barack Obama for who and what he is. He's been fundamentally transforming the United States since he came into office in 2009. And there was just a little hiccup between 2017 and 2021 when Donald Trump was in there the first time. He is coming back, as we've said. The Wrap says, Barack Obama laid into fellow former President Donald Trump so thoroughly on Thursday that more than one ex-user quipped, I'd like to report a murder. So the Obama supporters, those that are left, they were out to say, oh, he took down Trump. Others weren't so impressed. We'll get to some of these clips here in a second. Obama speaking in Pittsburgh ticked off a long list of reasons why voters should reject Trump and vote for Democratic nominee Kamala Harris next month. So she's not out campaigning. She's surprising even Jake Tapper. Listen, You know, we're in the middle of October here. What's going on? How come she's not doing 4 or 5 campaign events a day? Because they've been disasters. That's why. So out comes the dear leader to talk about this new way forward, to talk about the change that Kamala, who's in power right now, but leave that aside, to talk about the change that Kamala will bring to the country, change for the better. Listen to clip 16.
Kamala Harris, she doesn't have concepts for a plan. She has an actual plan to make your life better. To bring down the cost of things like groceries. She'll go after corporations that are jacking up prices.
And of course, your immediate response to that is, why isn't she doing it now? Well, with Joe Biden. I mean, he's the puppet, right? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they're a team. And here the dear leader says she has a plan. She has a plan to bring down prices. She has a plan to reduce inflation. Well, then put it in place. You're in power. Hello? You're in power at this moment. They somehow think that this will work with the American people, that they can sell them on this plan that she'll put into motion if she just gets inaugurated in January. It's not working. The message is falling flat. Listen we can skip 14. Go ahead to number 13.
There are a lot of Americans who are still struggling out there. They're still striving to make life better for themselves, for their families, and for their kids. And let's face it, as a country, we've been through a lot these last few years. We had a historic pandemic wreaking havoc on communities and businesses. Disruptions from the pandemic then caused prices to spike, and that put a strain on family budgets. And in many ways, it's felt like the aspirations of working people have taken a back seat to the priorities of the rich and the powerful. So I get it why people are looking to shake things up. I mean, I am the Hopi Changey guy. So I understand people feeling frustrated and feeling we can do better. What I cannot understand is why anybody would think that Donald Trump will shake things up in a way that is good for you, Pennsylvania. I don't understand that. Because there is absolutely no evidence that this man thinks about anybody but himself.
There you go. And then he goes on from there to take credit for the booming economy during the first 3 years of Donald Trump's administration. Then along comes COVID, blame everything on COVID, and talk about this new change that's coming. And try to forget about the fact that she's currently the vice president, that she's currently working with, and as she told The View, I was in on all the major decisions. Yeah, I don't think I would change one thing. You know, all of the Peter Navarro pointed this out this morning, all of the economic advisors for the fake president, Joe Biden, they're Obama people. This is an extension of Obama's first two terms, just as he dreamed about with Colbert, saying, I'd love to run the show from the basement. He's out for a fourth term. That's what it amounts to. And it's amazing to me how many now see this and acknowledge this, Peter Navarro among them. We'll play his clip here in just a second. But here's Obama yesterday taking credit for the good years, the economic years under Donald Trump, clip 15.
And the reason some people think, well, I don't know, I remember that economy when he first came in being pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good because it was my economy. We had 75 straight months of job growth that I handed over to him. It wasn't something he did. I had spent 8 years cleaning up the mess that the Republicans had left me the last time. So just in case everybody has a hazy memory, he didn't do nothing.
He didn't do nothing. He didn't do anything. Donald Trump. He's old. He's lazy. Just happened to have a booming economy. And oh, by the way, I'll take credit for it. Peter Navarro was one, I forget his exact title, but he was one of Trump's economic advisors. And that statement right there really set him off. Navarro, that is, earlier today. Listen to clip 23.
This is a disgrace. Barack Obama, first of all, he's lying through his teeth to the American people. And second of all, it's obvious that he wants to be president now for a fourth term. He controlled Joe Biden, and now Kamala is going to be his. Yeah, I had to say that because that's what it is. Barack Obama lives in that woke left liberal world where the government is always giving a helping hand to people in ways which actually wind up over time keeping people down. That's Barack Obama. That arrogant swagger of his. And when he's out there, he's like, he just struts around like he owns the world and like he owns politics. And this spectacle of him coming out to rescue a drowning Kamala Harris, I think really puts an exclamation point on the fact that the tide has turned in this race. What Barack Obama just fed to the American people last night, to the cheering throngs of whoever they stuffed into that auditorium, just doesn't cut it in terms of the data. And let's not forget, it was Barack Obama who made the final thrust of the knife into Joe Biden's heart and pushed Kamala upon the American people. Would you be fine with Barack Obama coming in at the last minute to rescue Kamala Harris so that Barack can sit in his basement in his Gucci sweatpants now because he's got more money than God? How does a politician do that? And basically provide advice to Kamala Harris along the lines of destroying the economy in America like he did for 8 years. Come on, Barack, just shut up. Go home. Go to Martha's Vineyard. Go ride a wave. Go play basketball because we are tired of your. It's offensive. And you know what? The biggest mistake you made in your basement, in your sweatpants, was to tell Joe Biden to use the same economic advisors you used as if they did a good job. Barack, 1.5 to 2% real GDP growth a year is not a success. That's an embarrassment. And it's also punishment. Punishment for the American people. And you get up there and you strut around on stage and you talk trash about Donald Trump. The jig's up, brother. The jig's up for you, brother.
The jig's up. You know what struck me? And obviously, I know he's a conservative, he's a Trump supporter. So I wasn't at all surprised necessarily by what he said. But the tone. When you just compare it to the way it was, the way it used to be with the dear leader, even conservatives, even those on the right, they were afraid to challenge Barack Hussein Obama. In their way, they swooned. Just like my father says, in America under attack. There was a time when you just didn't come out with a full frontal assault like that at the dear leader. But now, I mean, he's not alone, Navarro. There's quite a few that see. They see Barack Obama for who and what he is. And as my father has said, his influence is diminishing. Just by way of contrast, this clip was making the rounds on social media this week as well, because it's 16 years ago. It's when John McCain was going up against Barack Obama before the first term of Obama's presidency. And listen to this town hall reaction, these two questions, and then listen to how John McCain handled the response in both of these cases. Clip six.
We're scared. We're scared of an Obama presidency, and I'll tell you why. I'm concerned about, someone that, cohorts with domestic terrorists such as Ayers.
I have to tell you, he is a decent person and a person that you do not have to be scared as president of the United States. Now, I
got to ask you a question. I do not believe in, I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not.
No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues, and that's what this campaign is all about. He's not. Thank you.
In a political campaign, I mean, you are going to vet your opponent. You're going to, look at what that side, he pretty much was. Look at what the Democrats did to Donald Trump in 2016. They created all these crimes out of thin air to sling mud at Trump. But even if you leave aside the lies that they tell, they will dig to try to find any dirt on a political opponent. You know, it's embarrassing. Well, aside from the fact that 4 weeks after that exchange right there, he lost. Obama beat him easily. That's the grand old party. That's the way they oppose the dear leader. That's the way they used to fight Barack Obama politically. He's a great man. There is nothing to be worried about here. Now, I will admit, I've got a few disagreements with him. That's the approach they took, whether it was McCain or Romney, and they would always lose because of it. You heard how the crowd reacted there. They didn't like what McCain said. The American people were on to Barack Obama more than the Republican Party was. Or at least the Republican Party, if they were on to him, they just turned a blind eye to it. And then for their part, the regime media, I mean, they swooned. They worshipped him. He was the equivalent of the second coming. He was the Messiah, the Savior. It's unbelievable to watch this. And as I say, it's not even that long ago. And then along comes Donald Trump. And he beats him, or her, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's the one that Obama installed. He's been running the Democrat Party since 2008. But the thing that's different now is, as Peter Navarro said, the jig is up. It's over. It's impossible for the regime to conceal it. And then you listen to him speak. I mean, that's not necessarily the angel of light sounding individual that we're pretty used to hearing from, Barack Obama. He's thrown the gloves off. He's going after Trump. Trump, 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 Trump. It's just like Steve Garvey said in that clip we played yesterday. How can you do anything for America or the American people if you wake up every day and all that you think about is Donald Trump? Garvey said that to Adam Schiff. Play that again. That's clip 11.
Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Trump, Trump.
How can you think about one man every day and focus on that when you've got millions of people in California to take care of?
There's millions of people hurting, suffering even. And it's just Trump, 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 Trump. John McCain, 16 years ago. Oh, no, nothing to be worried about here. He's a good man. I will come out with a statement that's even deeply unpopular with my own party in order to swoon before the dear leader. Listen to Donald Trump yesterday. He was in Detroit. And he talks about just how he's disgusted with both parties, not just the Democrats. Clip 7.
So we go in, we blow up countries, and then we leave. We got nothing except dead people all over the place on both sides. How stupid are we? That was a Cheney deal and a Bush. How stupid are we? Not just Democrats. It's both. I'm equally angry at both because we have humanity to think about also. You do. You have humanity to think about. And all of these things, they should have never happened. Ukraine should have never happened. October 7th should have never happened. If you had smart people at the White House that knew something, a little bit of something, it wouldn't have happened. Think of the world, how different it would be. You wouldn't have Ukraine, Russia. You wouldn't have had October 7th. You wouldn't have this horrible thing that's going on. You wouldn't have had inflation. You wouldn't have had the worst, most embarrassing day in our history. We were leaving Afghanistan. I'm the one that got him down, but I would have kept Bagram. You know why I would have kept Bagram? It was 1 hour away from where China makes its nuclear weapons.
So you may not like some of the policies, but he speaks his mind. And he did demonstrate leadership, courageous leadership, and a willingness to expose the radical left, the communist attack on the United States. America under attack, just like our book is titled. We've had that message out there for 10, 12 years. CNN says here exactly 16 years ago, an impossibly young-looking Barack Obama was barnstorming through Ohio on a bus tour, electrifying huge crowds, and emphatically closing the deal on his thumping 2008 election victory. On another October night on Thursday, the 63-year-old ex-president was back on stage with a vast American flag for a backdrop, trying to do for Kamala Harris what she's so far struggled to do herself, put away the 2024 election. This is CNN. CNN, $1 billion later. And what does she have to show for it? What does the dear leader have to show for it? The jig is up, isn't it? This is a nice way for CNN to say, it seems like the jig is up. It seems like the hope and the vibes and all those good things, the joy. Remember that out of the DNC? The joy and the, I've never seen anything like it. You had one commentator say, this is like a 7-year-old birthday party. We're just all having fun. The joy, the vibes. It says here, Harris. It says here, the snowy-haired Obama had swapped Ohio, which ceased to be closely contested presidential state as soon as he left the White House. It says, for this year's potentially decisive state, Pennsylvania, that the hope and change prophet of 2008 is still his party's most effective political orator for presidential elections later is an indictment of Democrats. Well, I suppose you could take that position. It also shows that he's come in the spirit of Antiochus. CNN's basically saying this is a battle between Obama and Trump. How about that? Who's been saying that for quite some time? It says, we don't need 4 more years of arrogance and bumbling and bluster and division. America is ready to turn the page, Obama said. Turn the page? Biden's in there right now. But if all of these new changes are going to change everything for the better, let's get on with it. America's ready to turn the page. Well, he is right about that. They're ready to turn the page and to let go of Obama. They see, and some of them, to their credit, some ordinary citizens, they saw it in 2000, whatever it was, 2008, whenever that clip was we just played for you. I don't trust Obama. Why does he have all these close associations with terrorists, with these people that hate Israel, with people that hate America? Why is he practically bowing down to terrorists? Why is he cozying up to the Muslim Brotherhood? Why won't he support the people of Iran? Why is he so supportive of the mullahs and their quest to get a nuclear weapon? I mean, this is just basic. And it's not like I'm, you know, off on these twiggy areas. They were proud to bow before terrorists. and they were proud of the JCPOA. They wanted Iran to get a bomb to level the playing field with Israel. It says here, more broadly, the antagonism between Obama and Trump helps explain the politics of the last 15 years in the United States. America's at war. You know, we're seeing more. I think the article was in the Wall Street Journal. And it was quoting theologians and, you know, people among the evangelical community talking about the spiritual war that we're engaged in. And here again, that's what this book is about. Of course, there's legal war as well. Lawfare. My father has the cover on that January 2023 issue of The Trumpet, ready for war. I mean, we were among the first saying this is all out war politically for sure. Now, Trump, just this past 3-4 months, in one case, he took a bullet. He survived 2 assassination attempts. It's war. And the same spirit behind those would-be assassins, you saw it yesterday on the stage in Pittsburgh, the same hateful spirit, John 8, verse 44, Trump, 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 Trump. Trump can't even change a tire. Trump, although he had 5 children, he never changed a diaper. I know, because I'm the dear leader. I know. He is not to be questioned. Trump is selfish. Everything he does is to serve self. And presumably, everything the dear leader does is to serve others. How did, like Navarro said, how did he become so filthy rich? Being a community organizer and then a politician. Now he's got properties all over the world. Who's serving himself? Let's ask that question. Listen to the dear leader saying the quiet part out loud. This must have been after the event last night as he was talking to a group of black young men there in the hallway, clip 1.
We had not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities. I also want to say that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers.
I guess he said brothers there. I mean, he's down with the brothers. They haven't seen the same energy, the same turnout like they did back in the glory days of 2008, 2012. He's right. He's right. And then he goes on to lecture the black community. And that didn't even go over very well at CNN. Let's play the lecture first. This is clip 2.
Makes me think. I'm speaking to men directly. Part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea that a woman is present.
So it's either misogyny or, as he said elsewhere, it's racism. I mean, we've got to get behind the woman. We've got to get behind the black woman. And it's kind of hilarious, I think, with him and Kamala. They both have white mothers, but I guess we'll leave that aside. There they are lecturing the black community, admitting that Kamala's campaign, even though it's had $1 billion, it's just lacking energy. And they're seeing what everyone else is seeing, that the black community, more and more young black men are going with Trump. This is Scott Jennings at CNN responding to what the dear leader was saying there in that moment, clip 10.
Yeah, he was kind of insulting them. I mean, he said, if you're not in line with Kamala Harris, it's just because you're a misogynist or you're a bigot and you're making excuses for it. I actually don't think it's all that effective to go and insult groups of people who are soft on your candidate by saying, you know, it's just because of you have these, you know, hateful internal thoughts. That's not why men are not flocking to the Kamala Harris campaign right now. They have policy concerns and they have real concerns with the Democratic Party. I'm not sure this was the right thing to do.
The jig is up. That's CNN. Here's another one. I think she's at CNN as well. Clip 12.
But this other issue I want to bring up is a problem, too. Why are black men being lectured to? Why are black men being belittled in ways that no other voting group? Now, a lot of love for former President Obama, but for him to single out black men is wrong. And some of the black men that I have talked to have their reasons why they want to vote a different way.
Did she just say that Obama was wrong? That's an Obama delegate. That's a former Obama delegate saying that. What's he doing? What's he lecturing black men for? Can you sense a difference in the tone? It's very different than the swooning days of worship the dear leader, of whatever the dear leader says goes. What did my father say in the September trumpet? Part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of well, that's quoting from Obama. My father says this: Obama's power is diminishing before our eyes. And then Richard Palmer, he wrote in this morning's brief, last night's speech certainly sounded like it came from a frustrated man who can feel the election not going his way. Here again, if you want to go to my father's article on the diminishing influence of the dear leader, that's in the September 2024 trumpet. You can get a free subscription, as I say, calling the 800 number. You can go read the issue now at our website, thetrumpet.com. You see the cover there. Why God is protecting this man. That would be Donald Trump. From the American Thinker, it says here, in the lead up to and during Barack Obama's presidency, we were relentlessly told that Barack Obama was a racial healer and a man of unusual, almost James Bondian, suave sophistication. Both were lies. Barack Obama has always been a race hustler and a crude, low-thinking person. You saw it on display as he was talking to the young black men yesterday. He's a race hustler. If you don't vote Kamala, you're racist. Oh, yes. And we've heard that before. Both traits appeared during campaign appearances he made yesterday on Kamala's behalf, where he made a vulgar crack about Donald Trump and shamed young black men for voting for their interests rather than their skin color. Look, it's got to be a monolithic support from the black community. That's what he told those young men. They can't decide for themselves. He's got to make the decision for them. The arrogance. It says Obama's obsession with race and his determination to impose on America his divisive racial visions were heralded by his long relationship with Reverend Wright, the America-hating anti-Semitic preacher, and his more tightly guarded relationship with the truly vile Louis Farrakhan. This is what those Americans were worried about back in 2008 when they confronted John McCain. I don't like it. I don't like it. He scares me. It makes me afraid of our future, America's future. And John McCain, I just dismissed it. Hey, listen, this is a wonderful man. The regime media, it sent thrills up their legs. He was going to heal the nation. My father said at that time, nope, it's not going to happen. He's going to make matters much worse. There's like this racial ticking time bomb that's about to go off. And how many times did it explode in our faces? During the first and second term, during the summer of love, stir up all that was all Obama's people stirring it up. And people died and cities were burned. Places of business were destroyed. It says here, aside from his ferociously racist associates, Obama just kept letting slip those racist statements that belied his 2004 declaration that America couldn't be divided along color lines. There was the time he threw his grandmother under the bus as a typical white person who doesn't mean to be racist, but still is. His own grandmother. All for political gain. or the time when Obama said Ferguson police were racially oppressive and abusive. That's a direct quote. Based upon the phony Michael Brown narrative, or the time he fueled racial hatred after the Trayvon Martin case, another hoax on Americans when Democrats said it was a racial murder by saying that the gangster kid looking to roll people and get drugs could have been my son. They did the same thing with George Floyd, Saint George. They made a saint out of a criminal in order to cause all kinds of violence and mayhem. That's what these people do. It gives all kinds of other examples. Nor have I forgotten how an arrogant Obama treated Joe Biden like a non-entity in 2022. It's true that Biden is a non-entity, but they're still in the same party. And Biden is both an older man and the current president. Obama didn't even pretend to honor those two things. It says, with this setup, I was prepared for Obama's crudeness and race baiting on the campaign trail for Kamala yesterday. The crudeness came when Obama implied that only good taste had prevented him from saying that Donald Trump wears diapers. And through that implication, he effectively said that Donald Trump wears diapers. In addition to that nasty but typical Obama joke, quote unquote, Obama also tried to shame black men into voting for Kamala by accusing them of being sexist and traitors to their race. The gloves came off. I was expecting a pretty ferocious counterpunch from Donald Trump following that speech. Maybe there was one. I don't follow Truth Social like some others. But I loved this one from, I think, today. Obama admits, this is from Donald Trump, Obama admits a total lack of enthusiasm for Kamala, especially with black men. I think Obama will be voting for me because he doesn't like the fact that Kamala is an extremely low IQ person. I think he's going to vote for me, says Trump with his characteristic sense of humor. The front runner who's out there drawing huge crowds everywhere that he goes. And then Kamala now, conveniently enough for the dear leader, taking a back seat as Obama rushes to rescue the $1 billion campaign. Yesterday we talked about just how quickly Democrats can change their tune on any government agency. As soon as they come to power, every government agency is flawlessly run by perfect leaders. And you heard that clip from 2008 when Obama was campaigning before his first term as president. As he said, FEMA was incompetent, powerless. George W. Bush didn't come and visit the scene soon enough. Everything was a disaster with respect to Katrina. But not so this time around. Listen to Obama yesterday as he talks about hurricane relief and Donald Trump out there intentionally deceiving people. This is clip three.
Even local Republicans said it was not true. And now the people of Florida are dealing with another devastating storm. And I want you to watch what happens over the next few days, just like the last time. You're going to have leaders who try to help, and then they're... You have a guy who will just lie about it to score political points, and this has consequences. Because people are afraid, and they've lost everything, and now they're trying to figure out, how do I apply for help? And some of them may be discouraged from getting the help they need. The idea of intentionally trying to deceive people in their most desperate and vulnerable moments. And my question is, when did that become okay? I'm not looking for applause right now.
No, very, very serious. When did lying become okay? Well, what about FEMA in 2005? Were you lying to say that they were ineffective and powerless? Now it's perfect. Nobody's suffering in the hills of North Carolina. He's already saying that Trump's going to be spreading misinformation about Florida, the relief effort there. You see how you see how it works. If it's a Republican president, FEMA is bad. If it's a Democrat president, FEMA is infallible. I could go back and play that clip from yesterday. Pretty revealing, isn't it? What he was saying about FEMA back in 2008 when he was campaigning to replace a Republican. Listen to what the fake president said yesterday with respect. Notice how he talks about Donald Trump as if he's the president. This is clip four.
Mr. President, have you spoken before President Trump at all?
Are you kidding me? Mr. President Trump, former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
Will you hold him accountable? You said you were going to hold those accountable.
Public will hold them accountable. You better the press hold them accountable because you know the truth.
Get a life and help these people. One could argue that he's done more to help these people already than he did. Or the dear leader. Where's the dear leader been? He's not in office either. Is he going down to North Carolina? Is he visiting Georgia? Trump's just a private citizen. I think he's been to both places. Barack Obama tweeted this yesterday. Michelle and I are thinking about everyone in Florida, North Carolina, and across the Southeast whose lives have been upended by storms over the last couple weeks. We're grateful to the first responders and the FEMA professionals. They're doing a fantastic job, these FEMA professionals. He should go back and listen to his speech from 2008. I'd encourage you to see yesterday's show if you want some highlights. They're doing a great job. They're staffed by professionals. Kamala said yesterday, I mean, this shows you what true leadership looks like. Okay. Listen to, I've played the Mayorkas clip multiple times over the last week. He says FEMA's about out of money. To draw attention to that evidently is misinformation. Listen to this report from CNN, clip 26.
For that help, people look to FEMA. But FEMA might not have the funds that is needed. CNN's Kevin Liptak following this from the White House. And Kevin, this has been an ongoing conversation. Are the funds there? Does the disaster relief fund have what is needed? What are you hearing?
Yeah, and we should say from the outset here that FEMA does have the money that it needs for its immediate concerns. That's according to the White House. That's according to the FEMA director. But there are other pots of money that they are concerned about. And specifically when it comes to the Small Business Administration, they're responsible for providing low interest loans, not only to small businesses, but to homeowners and renters as well, who are trying to recover from this storm. And what President Biden says is they only have a few weeks of funding left and they need more money very urgently. Now, FEMA is also burning through its funds pretty quickly.
FEMA's burning through its funds. They might be running out of money. There's not enough money left. That's what Mayorkas said. Just giving you the news out of their own mouths. This is from a website called Chronicles. The puppet master who foisted his corrupt, cognitively challenged minion, Joe Biden, on the voters in 2020 now tells you to vote for his latest creation, Kamala Harris. Yet another article pointing out what now is obvious. This is Obama running for his fourth term. This is Obama, as this article brings out, trying to save or preserve all of his nefarious schemes. It seems there is no such thing as liability for false advertising or accountability for past mistakes when it comes to political puppet masters. Instead, there is potential for rewards aplenty as the puppet master extols the virtues of a Kamala Harris candidacy. We're ready to turn the page. This is new. This is hope and change. No, this is old news, the way Americans see it. The jig is up. We've seen what your policies have done to this nation. What we've seen, what your worldview has done to this nation over the past 16 years. We've seen how competing against you politically, like John McCain did, is a disaster, politically speaking. He's a super guy. We think he's great. I've just got a few political differences, that's all. This American Thinker piece says, Obama is not now, nor was he ever, a nice human being. It's just getting harder for him to hide that fact. He just can't hide it anymore. It doesn't have the same joy, the same vibe that it had some years ago. The swooning, it's just not quite as intense. Even CNN will say, you know, I don't think he should be lecturing black men. These are independent thinkers. And I know of some of them that are voting a different way from Kamala because for this or that policy. Don't shame them into doing what you want done in order to extend your presidency another 4 years. We've only got 3 minutes left, which means we barely have enough time for this week's World Watch segment. So we'll conclude today's show with that. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy World Watch.
A group of Chinese government-linked hackers breached multiple major American telecommunications firms over the past few months. They were likely searching for sensitive national security information, The Wall Street Journal reported on October 5th, citing multiple anonymous sources. Officials still don't know what information the hackers obtained. U.S. telecom firms hold vast amounts of data on customers. This data is sometimes requested for criminal investigations. The sources believe the hackers may have had access to this data, which would be a major national security threat. Much of America's military might relies on technology. Vulnerability to enemies in this area could cause disaster for the United States. Bible prophecy shows that America's extreme reliance on vulnerable technologies will play a role in weakening the nation and leaving it prey to other types of attacks. To learn more, read China Hacks America and None Goes to Battle. The United States had a strong hand in Britain's decision to cede the Chagos Islands to Mauritius, according to a report from The Telegraph. Days after Britain's election in July, senior U.S. officials reportedly threatened the incoming Labour Party that their special relationship with Washington would be jeopardized if they didn't sign away the islands. The Chagos Islands were one of Britain's last remaining sea gates. Now that Britain is moving out of the Chagos Islands, there are fears China will move in. Mauritius already has close ties to the Chinese government. Why would the Biden administration put such pressure on the UK to surrender these islands, especially considering the danger of China taking control of the strategically important sea gate? To learn more, read UK to surrender one of its last remaining sea gates, the Chagos Islands. Russia plans to increase defense spending to 40% of its total national budget for 2025, Bloomberg reported on September 23rd. This budget shows that Russia's priority is military dominance and spending enough to ensure that dominance. Three-year budget proposal drafts seen by Bloomberg show that Moscow plans to spend 13.2 trillion rubles, about 142 billion US dollars, on defense in 2025. 2025's figure would represent 6.2% of Russia's GDP, more than the combined budgets for education, healthcare, the national economy, and social policies. Modern Russia is specifically mentioned in Bible prophecy. Scripture warns that it will become a military powerhouse and lead a coalition of nations that marshals the largest military force in human history. To learn more about this key end-time prophecy, read our free booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.